All right, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, Google, TuneIn, wherever you're listening to us. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. I'm very excited. It's going to be a great, great show. Right there, everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Hannah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Just good? You're really excited.
I'm very excited because... Hannah, what was the first time you saw Revenge of the Nerds?
I was maybe 3 or 4. I was really small.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, your parents had you played you Revenge of the Nerds.
They were absent.
As a toddler?
So, yeah, they were absent, so I watched pretty much whatever I wanted. And then, you know, I just kind of grew up with it.
At 3, what drew you to the Nerds?
It was just on TV, and oh, okay. Yeah, it was entertaining for me.
Well, then you know who this is.
I do.
As with the other 80s actresses we've had in here, such as Diane Franklin, they don't age. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, you're
beautiful,
absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful Julia Montgomery.
Oh, so kind. Yeah.
Who everybody knows with the infectious laugh, who everybody knows as played Betty Childs.
Mm-hmm.
Revenge of the Nerds 1. Most people don't know 3 or 4 existed, but you did that too. Also... other great movies such as Up the Creek. what's the horror movie that just was re-released?
Oh, was it just re-released? Girls Night Out?
Girls Night Out.
I mean, there have been several horror movies.
The Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot. Days of Our Lives.
One Life to Live.
One Life to Live.
I used to tell people to do that
when I was little.
The original Samantha Vernon.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Sam. And, Brad's sister, the girls knew me because he was so darn, he's so cute. Anyway.
We're going to talk about all of that. Your amazing career. And next to you, it's an aspiring actor. I would say aspiring, but I call him the Lon Chaney of the 21st century because he can morph into anything. And today he's got quite the nerdy look.
Well, thank you.
He's adorably nerdy.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mark. Again, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, no. I haven't had you. Last time he was on, he was dressed as a clown.
Very scary clown,
which is one of his... When he cosplays and does haunted houses, he has all these characters.
Oh, my God.
Clown is one of them.
I love clowns.
Yeah, do the face. He's got that face.
That was funny.
Yeah, he's got the face. And we also had a tug of war over broken glass. Our engineer fainted on that show.
What?
But I know we're not going to get that deep today.
So. It was a memorable night.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to hear the details.
Yeah, well, there was tug of war. There was somebody had fish hooks in his eyelids. Another guy had... they were having a tug of war. One guy had a chain in his ears, and the other had fish hooks in his eyeballs, and they were going back and forth. And
wow,
yeah.
Okay,
barefoot over broken glass.
Sounds like my kind of show.
How do you top that?
Yes. Dangerous D introduced me to him, but
yeah.
You guys also have met before. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
Before we get started, I want to say happy birthday to Hannah's grandfather, who's the Instagram star.
He is.
Happy birthday, Grandpa.
Grandpa is 80 what?
86.
Yes.
Wow. Big Revenge of the Nerds fan, I would imagine.
He's very familiar with the film.
That's funny.
So he must be very excited. Happy birthday, Grandpa. We were trying to get him to the studio.
Yeah. Oh, how fun.
He's quite a character.
And then
also we got to do our sponsors really quick. Audible.
Audible, I love Audible.
You can have any book you want. My suggestion, I'm glad you love Audible.
Okay.
Because I've got a deal for anybody who hasn't tried it, and you were recommending it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show, audibletrial.com/DMS, any book you want, and 2 free Audible originals. Now, the book I would recommend, obviously, is there's a lot of nerd books. You'd be surprised how many nerd books there are.
Really? I think I would be surprised.
There's like Nerd Erotica. There's like one called
Nerd Erotica.
Yeah.
I think I need that.
BBW meets Nerd and Punk. There's all sorts of Nerd Erotica. But the one I would recommend, because I'm pretty sure you're mentioned in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's Curtis Armstrong's autobiography.
If I wasn't mentioned in it, I would kill him.
Yes. Yes. Curtis Armstrong, who of course played Booger.
His book is fantastic. Like, you can hear him when you read it to yourself.
Well, it's an audiobook, so
Audible,
he's reading it.
And I got it on Audible as I started to read it. I went, you know what? I already hear his voice as I'm reading it, but I'm getting it in Audible. This is going to be so much fun. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and hilarious, I would imagine, because Curtis Armstrong's great.
Oh, he's so funny, and he's so talented. And the book is great.
It's like 10 hours of him talking about his career, including Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And he must talk about you a little bit.
He does. Well, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
There you go.
He better have.
You can get
he
that?
Did. He did. I read it. I heard it. I listened, of course.
And, you know, we used to have a deal where you just get a book. Now you get two Audible originals in addition to the book.
That is really cool.
Such as Bob Newhart has a show where he interviews other comics. They have... a play, John Lithgow's one-man play. They have science fiction books. One was read by John Waters. Another was read by Zachary Quinto of the new vampire series, Nosferatu. All sorts,
cool.
Whatever you want. You get two Audible originals free.
Wow.
And Curtis Armstrong's book, A Regent Nerd, or whatever
that
you
is
want.
That alone, Curtis, is that's a yes. reason to get it.
Audibletrial.com/DMS.
I know, Mark. I have it.
I know.
No,
are you
sorry.
Vegan?
No.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter because our other sponsor is a terrific restaurant. Hyun's going to tell you all about it.
Doomies Home Cooking.
Doomies Home Cooking. Doomies.
Mm-hmm. They have the Nex-Mex, and then next to that they have the burger shop where you can get burgers, cake, shrimp pork
boys. No, not just that, because anybody has veggie burgers. It's on the corner of Fountain and Vine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
1253 Vine Street, right where the M-Bar used to be.
I may want to go there.
Everybody's got vegan burgers.
Yeah.
Burger King's got them now. This place has pulled pork sandwiches, chicken parmesan, shrimp po' boys, vegan, delicious. Mac. You ever been to Doomies?
When I worked the Haunted Hayride, I think in 2014, they had like the truck, and they actually had the food there that people would get. So
it was great, huh?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
I was really impressed by it.
Well, now they have Doomies Home Cooking. They have two restaurants, the Mexican restaurant. We went there a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big... carne asada, wet burrito is delicious. You have the chili relleno.
Yep.
Mm. The nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos
Boy,
in L.A.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
We can do this show.
And, yeah. We went on her birthday. We had some fried Oreos. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys are so cool.
1253 Vine Street. Or they have a restaurant now in Culver City.
Oh.
Or Toronto, Canada.
Oh, let's go there.
Yeah.
I think let's go to Canada.
We're going to go to Canada and go get some Doomies after the show.
That would be kind of cool.
Yes.
I think the hand motion really sells it, the Firenze.
Firenze. Yeah.
And they have like chili cheese fries. You can
have chili cheese fries
bacon to it.
Mm. I'm going to be
amazing.
Over there
exactly.
after this show.
Yeah. No, definitely. Tell Phil I said hi. Now, when was the first time you watched Revenge of the Nerds, Brett?
Man, definitely a while ago. I remember my summer vacation when my dad had the movie channels to show how long ago it was, but I was able to watch it in its entirety. I'm like,
TMC.
Yeah, you know, I think I saw the second one first, so it was really cool seeing the
first
one.
Oh, that's bad. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
I'll tell you that story in a little bit when I'm not interrupting again. Yeah, go ahead.
So
you saw the second one first?
Oddly enough,
I'm very upset with you.
Well, it wasn't my choice, you know.
That'd be worse.
He just was on.
Old school HBO days.
Yeah, that's I know.
Yeah,
just giving me trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, but because that one's PG-13.
Yeah.
So when you got to see the R-rated original.
Oh, yeah. Woo! No comparison.
Right.
So that's why I was taken aback by it in a good way. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, there's a big difference in quality and content.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and talent.
Are you speaking of...
Yeah.
Storyline or naked bodies?
I'm talking about both. I'm talking about the acting, all of it.
Okay.
Let's start at the beginning.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You're a Jersey girl.
I'm a Jersey girl. Yep, I sure am.
Where in Jersey?
But although I wasn't born there, but I grew up there from 6 to 18. Livingston, New Jersey.
Livingston, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And where is Livingston, New Jersey? I have no idea.
It's right next to West Orange. Hey, you know that, don't you?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know it's like... it's just a little suburb near Morristown, and it's wonderful. It's a great little place.
And where were you
Livingston
born?
High. Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right.
I'm a show-me state girl.
I did see that. Yeah, so from Kansas to New
Because my dad got it. He just kept on moving up in his business and was offered a job in New York. And so, of course, we moved to New Jersey so we could be in the suburbs where the good schools were or whatever. And, when I was a teenager, I decided suddenly I wanted to do modeling. So my mom took me into the city, and from that was like when I was I was like 14, and that went really well. And that's when I became like, forget it, I am a city girl. Actually, before that is I was like, my dad used to bring us into the city to see shows as a fan, like this little Missouri family,
right?
And
like Chorus Line and like stuff like that.
Chorus Line, I mean, they were endless. My parents were very, my dad especially, but my mom was thrilled, very like, not cultural, but cultural.
Like Bob Fosse shows and stuff like that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I saw him. I I don't know if I saw them all, but I saw a lot.
Right.
So that was a thrill. I saw Angela Lansbury in Gypsy, and at the end of that, and I was like eight. I remember that I was eight. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember by the end of the show, when I stood up applauding, I was like streaming tears, like, I want to do this. I love this show. And then I worked with her.
I was going to say, that's the fun part of the story.
And she was amazing.
You're on Murder, She Wrote.
Yes. She was amazing.
Did you tell her the story?
I'm sure I did. She was down. Unlike most, you know, television regulars, they're not. They don't come down and rehearse with you
right.
all the time. She was always on the set, just a theater actress, and just always there for you. The most incredible woman, and she set the tone, of course, for, you know, for the whole thing. And then later on, I saw her in Santa Monica, like years later, and we were standing in Santa Monica Seafood, looking at the fish. It's a pretty small store,
right.
And we're looking at them. You really can't mistake Angela Lansbury. Like,
okay.
You kind of know. Okay, that is definitely Angela. We're standing right next to her. I said, Angela. I said, I was on your show. She said, oh, I remember you. Whether she did or not, I don't know. But she was so kind.
Nice.
She's so wonderful.
She's one of the good ones.
She's one of the greats.
Tom Selleck did not rehearse with you in When You Are Magnum P.I.?
He did not, but he's adorable. No, he did not.
No, Peter Falk, when you were on Columbo, he didn't.
I love Peter Falk. I love Peter Falk. He didn't rehearse, but he just loved acting. So he was so there when he was there.
Most people don't. To me, one of these people that just kind of like, he's just out there, and then when he's on the set,
yep.
And then as soon as the scene's gone, he's out there again.
Well, you know, he likes to sit on the set. Like, he was there, I believe, with his wife, like, just kind of sitting in chair, like, just normal chairs, just, like, hanging out. He was a very, you know, approachable, was such a darling man and such a fine, you know, actor. And, I mean, that was a real treat.
But you were, I mean, because you were on a lot of TV shows, as we're saying, but
going
back...
Yeah.
When you were in New Jersey, not only were you a model at a young age, you were in school with a future actor, Jason Alexander.
We were in plays together. We were Jason Alexander, Jay Greenspan.
That's the thing. His real name is Jace Greenspan?
Jay Greenspan. We played across from each other in Guys and Dolls, all these different shows in Livingston, whether it be high school.
You guys went to high school together.
Yes.
You were in the same drama class together, and you did the play
together. Not
drama class,
but we all auditioned and got the roles, and it happened over and over because, you know, it just kind of happens that way generally. And then there were a couple of teen theater plays. Teen theater. That sounds so. It was so fun. It was so fun.
You're such a theater nerd.
I'm a nerd. So Jay's he's always been incredibly talented.
Yeah.
He loved to rehearse. We would have rehearsals at each other's house, especially his mom.
I'll bet he did.
Well, no. No, not like that. But he's just a fine guy.
It's great. You won't even call him by his stage name. He's Jay to you. He's always going to be Jay to you.
He's Jay.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Now, did you see, like, of all the actors, did you see, okay, this is the guy, he's going to be successful?
He was always talented. I didn't think about it that way. I just was, like, more in the moment. I wasn't, like, thinking that about myself. I wasn't thinking it about him. I just loved being in the show. No, there was someone I did think about it, but he didn't go into it professionally.
Okay, so the one guy you thought was going to be a big star didn't.
I also
even do
had a
it.
Crush on the guy I'm talking about.
Right.
So, you know, that always helps because you're thinking, you're really thinking ahead.
It wasn't Jay.
It wasn't Jay. No, but Jay was a doll.
Okay, Jay's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
no, he's a really good guy.
Right. And then you.
What? Why are you looking at me that way?
No. I trust me. I get called a great guy the same way a lot, but no.
Oh,
that's
no,
right.
No, not in that. No, okay, no, I'm not saying that.
No.
Although, yeah, no,
no
we I'm didn't, glad ever
no,
have,
I,
a,
I hear,
didn't have a thing.
A couple people I've known that know Jason Alexander have told me the same thing. He's a real down to earth, real nice guy.
Yes, he is. He totally is.
And Chelsea Handler, a few years later, went to that school.
You know what? Yeah. Unfortunately, I was just, I totally missed her.
A couple
her.
Years before, yeah. You were like a senior, she was a freshman, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
Just missed her.
Totally.
Yeah. So, and then you got on this One Life to Live, Not Days of Our Lives.
One Life to Live.
Right.
Good job.
Yeah. So that was your first acting job.
No, I did commercials before that. First, I did modeling. Then suddenly they were setting me up for commercials. started booking commercials, and then like it all happened very like.
Was there like a big national campaign that you were in? Because I was trying to look at YouTube for some.
Oh God! Wouldn't it be fun? I would love. I wish I'd had. I did like Sears. I did Fifth Avenue candy bars. It was so fun. Loves Baby Soft Mist Before Your Time. Such like perfume for young girls. Oh, I love.
Oh, is that what it was? Baby Soft
loves
Mist.
Loves Baby Soft Mist.
Wow.
Oh, I don't even think I had to say it, but just thinking about. I remember when I got the commercial, I was so happy because I'm like, I love this stuff. And I got to wear
this.
So
were you like 15, 16 and you were using it yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. I did a lot of commercials. Like,
yeah.
And they were back then, you know, kind of all of them were, not all of them, but most of them were national commercials. Some better than others always. But
sure.
But anyway, yeah.
Have you done commercials, Brad? I'm sure you've auditioned for something.
Believe it or not, a Samsung commercial where
I can believe it.
It was just my hands, though.
You got nice hands.
Thank you. Yeah. And it was
impressive.
It was really cool. I had to pretty much manipulate what was going on the screen. They shot that stuff first, and then I had to go in there and make it look like it made sense. And that was actually really hard.
So it's like screen with your hands?
Also, you have to be really not nervous if you're going to have just your hands have to relaxed.
Shaking.
Pretty much.
I would feel like, that's a lot of pressure on those hands.
Tell us about the audition.
So it was actually a call for a real mime. So I went there and I had like some mime-ish clothes on, but I didn't do the makeup. But there were some guys in there that had like the mime on.
Have you done mind training? You probably have, right? Or
I just kind of self exploration. I did. I studied in theater a little bit, and it was a lot of fun. So,
I bet it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you were very relaxed for the audition. You're like, okay, I can do this.
Kind of just take it for what it was.
Yeah.
So they have you do the wall thing, and
Well, they had like your hands up on a thing, just kind of see how they looked and how they moved, and you know, like, all right, now pretend you're throwing these cards and pretend you're manipulating cables and stuff, and. It was interesting. I went in with a grain of salt, and then I got a callback for it. It was pretty cool.
Were your hands more nervous on the callback?
Actually, they weren't bad. You know,
honestly think that's really impressive.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because I just can't imagine.
Those are always the ones that you ace when you're not even thinking about it. You're like,
exactly.
Oh, I'll just go
for
the
experience. If you think too much about it, like on the callback, I could be like, oh, my hands won't move right. Or I don't know. So, yay.
Absolutely,
yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
So it was pretty cool. We, you know, all these products that were coming out, and we shot in these ridiculous houses, you know. And it was
A
team of 50 people looking at me, waiting for me to do everything. Like, all right, let's do it again, Yeah.
Out of New York or here? Oh, sorry.
L.A.
It was here.
Yep. So, yeah, you have to be super precise with every little moment. So,
right.
I bet.
I have a bigger respect for all those little hand commercials.
Because you moved here from, was Pennsylvania?
Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. My geography is all over the place.
You've got to be an East Coaster, aren't you?
Originally, but we moved when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so
I can hear it. I love East Coasters. Mm-hmm. So this is we're in good company.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't know. When I booked you, I had no idea that you had met Hannah at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2013. It's when you first moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw him right when he got to town.
How?
Well, yeah, it was closing night at Bar Sinister, and I walked out. And I don't know how we started talking. I think
bar.
I complimented your outfit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was, right near the stage area, so you could actually hear everyone, which is cool, towards the end of the night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen you since, except for on social media.
It's crazy.
And, you know, he's hanging out with Dangerous D. He's doing all sorts of weird stuff. We got to check him out at a haunt. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. So, by the way, he just did the nerd snort, so we better. Good segue.
It was good segue,
because you were in a few movies. You were in that. That horror movie that I forgot the name of again.
Girls' Night Out. Some people say.
With Hal Holbrook.
Yeah. Well, no, with David. Was Hal in it for a little minute, too? David, his son. Rutanya,
oh, is that how they got him?
Yes.
Because I was looking at this. It looked like a low-budget, schlocky horror movie. It kind of was.
It was so fun, though. I had so much dialogue. It was so unusual. They usually, underwrite so much, especially for the women. But this was, it was really fun. I don't think it, like, when people come up, there have been a few people at these Comic-Con events, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked out of my mind. Somebody came up and said, "You were in Girls' Night Out." I'm like, "What?"
Hannah, I know you're a horror movie aficionado.
Yeah.
This is Brett. Girls' Night Out has instead of Freddy or Jason, the killer turns out to be a mascot wearing a bear outfit, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
And the great Hal Holbrook apparently is in the first scene.
Yeah, exactly. I guess you weren't in that scene. But
so it's something I definitely want to check out. I wasn't able to find. So that's how I met you. Was at the 80s in the Desert Convention.
I think I have a copy. Yes, exactly.
Now, I was going to ask you a couple things about that. Because,
what?
Okay, 80s in the Desert, I went to a few weeks ago. My friend Kevin and Jack, the two nervous guys I went to the table. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a convention, and they had cool people there, but sparsely attended.
Oh, well, I guess it was the first year at this location. I also did 80s in the sand, and I'm going back again. I did it in November. That's huge because it's been, I think it's only actually been about 3 years, but it's, people go for the whole week. It's all inclusive. They pay the whole thing. They have so much fun. Then they come back the next year and the next year and the next year. And like people who came to 80s in the Desert, like, are you going to be there in November? I'm like, I think so. And then I saw the producer. I'm like, Steve, am I going to that? Like, have you invited me? And he's like, I haven't. Yeah, but I was supposed to have. I'm like, okay, well, call me.
But
it's really fun. Okay, so this one was a brand new. So, yeah, it was not well attended. Also, it was, what was it? It was
the Rio?
No, the Rio was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Star Trek conventions there where it's just been packed.
It
just wasn't advertised well, I don't think. And
It was that. Oh, and then somebody made the point, it was like, it's sort of the time of year of graduations, of all kinds of important family things.
Right.
And it was also the Kentucky Derby.
Ah.
I don't know that would pull from the same crowd by any means, but it was just, someone said this was the wrong weekend and they tried to talk. Anyway, so I think, and then someone else said, when something starts at a certain location, it takes a little bit of being there.
Right.
Couple years to kind of build it up. So we'll see if Steve does it again. But the one in the Dominican, which I'm doing again next November, is so much fun. And it's a resort.
That's what I understand.
You're at the beach. You've got all these pools. I don't like to be in the one where all the concerts are because people are in there like all day with their drinks.
Well, they had bands at night. They had Thomas Dolby and Missy Persons.
The great, great bands. I would go to the night events and dance.
So I'm sitting there, this 80s cornucopia. We got Mike DeMone, Rubber Romanos from Fast Under My Eye. Robert Hayes from Airplane.
Yes.
You and Brian Tochi, who played Takashi.
Yes.
And Resident Nerds. And apparently you guys went to see Cirque du Soleil later that
year. Yes.
How was that?
Oh, unbelievable. We saw the show called O. And I was spellbound. I really was. I'm thinking about bringing my dad out from Kansas City and maybe trying to get bring my two kids, which is somehow the summer. I'm like, it'll be Las Vegas in the summer, but whatever. You know, my dad's 92.
Right.
Bring him now, right?
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
He would
get grandpa. We'll get the whole
let's get our grandfathers. It's such a great show.
Right.
I was, again, crying. It sounds like I cry a lot, but not that much, just sometimes.
Right. Did it bring you back to when you did theater and like kind of like touch your heart? Is that why?
Oh, it so touched my heart. I really only did theater as I was growing up. Funny enough, I just switched to television and film. And now I'd be like, I'm sure I could do it, but I would be terrified.
Right.
I would be terrified. But I think it would be fun because I would love the idea of not auditioning. Rehearsing and being directed in a show that continues to go on and, you know, hopefully goes on, right? But, you know, that whole experience. So,
Revenge of the Nerds, the musical.
I could actually see that happening.
That's pretty funny.
Well, we're going to get to that. But so you were in a teen comedy before Revenge of the Nerds. You were in Up the Creek, which was like a Meatballs knockoff.
Now, that's a bad movie.
That's bad? Okay.
Now, that's a bad movie.
That's bad.
I mean,
is that worse?
That's worse than Stewart is School.
I was going to say, is that worse than Stewart is School, which, okay.
On the list of bad to worse.
Wait, is it worse than Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Well, no, I think Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is a good, I love
I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I actually was looking on IMDb and people were like, I don't know why people hate on this. It's actually funny.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Milk Money. I'm sorry. I was thinking
I love
Ed.
Milk Money.
That's what
you know who's in Milk Money.
It was a very, very small part. I'm the mother of the lead girl. And I'm just, I have one scene and it's very, very.
Melanie, I'm going to go back and watch it.
Not with Melanie. No, I'm in a dress shop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's who I thought you were. When
Stallone
you say
Stallone,
and Estelle Parsons. They were great. He was very funny. I was in the elevator with him with Stallone, and of course in the scene with him. But he was at that time at whatever year it was surrounded by
early
women.
Early 90s, yeah. And Estelle Getty hot off the Golden Girls.
Oh, she's such a pip. You know, yeah. She's so fun.
Well, I was looking at because I've never seen it. I'm looking at IMDb and people are like, I don't know why people are hating on it. It's funny. I'm like, yeah. Maybe I should see it.
Yeah. That's funny. Because
I think Stallone can be funny. He did a movie with Dolly Parton. Everybody says it's horrible. I thought it was funny.
I really like him.
Yeah.
As an actor.
He did Oscar.
Know?
That was pretty funny.
And yeah.
Anyway, so.
Why do they give him so much trouble? What's wrong with
people? I think he survived. He came out the other end.
I guess he did.
Milk Money is about this kid hires a prostitute to marry his dad.
Well, he doesn't hire to marry the dad. They want to see some, you know, lady parts. So they all get their money together.
And then it kind
of snowballs good into point. This thing. She's running from her crazy pimp, right. And he wants to hide her in his treehouse.
And Harris,
I love
and
that
Melanie
movie.
Griffith.
They were pretty hot those are, couple.
Yeah. I'll have to watch Milk Money. I don't know.
Hilarity ensued.
Was there shenanigans going on in the sets?
I'm not saying anything.
Oh.
There's always shenanigans going on the sets.
Wait a second.
Come on.
Ed Harris and Melanie. So there was a lot of chemistry between
there
Ed Harris
so much
and Melanie Griffith.
Chemistry.
Yeah, and you could see it on screen.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. My God.
Well, now we've had some things verified about Milk Money.
Also, I think both of them, I've always thought Ed Harris was to die for.
Really?
Like, just his vibe, like his...
His like
charisma.
Demeanor, yeah.
Well, he's a great actor. Just, he's a, there's no
he's
question.
A great
he's a great actor.
And I've always loved her.
Hairline doesn't bother you, none of that. No.
You know, sometimes everything just goes away, and you just
you got the personality going,
the freaking vibe at, of the person.
I'm not gonna tell
I
you.
Feel like I'm
look
blushing.
Out, you're glowing. Ed Harris.
All right.
He's no nerd, that's for sure.
No, well, you know.
He seems like
everybody's
he seems
a
more
nerd
like
inside.
I guess.
That's true.
So
no, we all have.
I think
our,
yeah, whatever no, you're passionate about, yeah, I think you kind of nerd out
no,
on it, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think there's nerd in all of us, and mm-hmm. I think that's why my character in Revenge of the Nerds ended up falling for a nerd. Also, if you looked at the way you know Ted McGinley or Stan treated me, are you kidding? Like mm-hmm. you can have the best guy ever, or the most gorgeous guy, but he's not the best guy ever.
Right.
And then look at Robert Carradine right. and Lewis, and you go, this guy it has endurance. This mm-hmm. guy doesn't care.
So,
he's embarrassed by going after Betty again and again
yeah.
in his dear way.
And the older you get, I think at different
so
stages
so what
in
if
your
he
life.
Went down on me in the moon?
Wait. We're going to get to all
ahead,
of that.
Jumping ahead.
So Ed Harris
surprise.
Is hotter than Ted McGinley. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But yet, we're talking different category. Like, if I had to choose, I don't know what I would do, because I adore Ted. I'm just saying, not Ted. We're not talking about Ted. Well, right now, we're not talking about Ted. We're talking about Stan.
Right.
We're really not talking about Ted. That right. was a trick question.
I know.
Cut it out, Mark.
I'm sorry. So I was...
Because Ted is...
Hey, Gloria, can you hand me the DVD there? It's right no, on the top there.
What?
On the top there. I actually had to buy the...
God.
The horrifying. now this came out, and this is the DVD of Revenge of the Nerds, the Panty Raid
collection or something edition,
yes.
right?
Now this came out in 2005 or 2007. I'm not really sure when. I can't believe as recent as that is. There's a horrifyingly photoshopped picture of Robert Carradine on top of some really long arms holding a pair of panties that for some reason have lambda lambda lambda.
Yeah,
on them.
That's weird, isn't it?
Here's what's also
shouldn't
weird.
Shouldn't they say pie or something? You know, like pie?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
well,
hell?
Here's what's also weird. They have a documentary on here, which is terrific.
Oh.
Where they interview the director. They interview Robert Carradine, Tim Busfield, Larry B. Scott, all the people in this movie. They interviewed you.
They didn't interview or they did?
But you did not get credit at the end.
Those fucking imbeciles. I'm telling you.
At the end, they thank everybody. McGinley, Carradine,
oh
everybody.
Oh, my God.
Not you.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I don't even think I saw it. But I am good. I want to see it. Like, I want to see the... I never saw the...
That's yours now.
No.
Yes, it is.
I think
my
you've
God.
Earned it.
Yeah.
I think you have earned it. There's no question about
thank
it.
Thank you.
No, that's all yours.
Is it empty?
No, it's easy. Oh, yeah.
But, seriously?
No, of course, yeah. But it's funny because people are like, are you going to have an autograph?
I sign these all the time.
Yeah, but you're not on it. I was like, why would I have to sign? Even, you're not even on the cover. You
know
should
what?
Be.
Okay, here's my other
grievance.
That's
yours. Here's that's yours.
Thank you. Thank you. The other grievance, which goes along with a lot of 80s movies, but I never understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they? Okay, I all shouldn't right. say this, but I'm going to. It's not a bad thing, but it's just irritating. So there's a poster of Revenge of the Nerds. It's right. like the classic one, right? Mm-hmm. Neither one of those girls are anyone from the movie.
Right.
There certainly isn't
it's
me.
It's Anthony Edwards, Robert Carradine.
And two.
And a bunch of two girls.
Two stray girls. Mm-hmm. One's supposed to be me, I guess. She's next to Robert. I mean, she looks like everything she's doing is a Betty.
Right. Well, she's on his leg and yeah.
Like, what? It's such a, I'm sorry. Ugh, damn it. It's like, it's such a man's world back then. Like, why would they put, why don't they put the girls on there? Us, the real girls.
And that's what kind of drove people to go to the movies anyway, mostly,
well,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's sort of like, it just doesn't make sense. So anyway, I won't go on because...
No, you have a point there.
I get all pissed off about it. Before
we get to the nerd talking, I think it's going to be a lot of nerd talk.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Because last point, they wouldn't do that to the guys.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, so we're just in a friggin' appendage.
Yep.
Not to Brett.
Yes, no. No way.
Our audience can't see it though, but Mark's been smiling since the minute he walked
in the
door.
No, I'm enjoying the conversation. You're building this movie as Julie Montgomery.
Well, I am, and that's my parents called me Julie. They named me Julia, Julia Elizabeth Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Not unfortunately, no relation to Elizabeth Montgomery, who I love and was one of my complete idols. Anyway, but so they named me Julia, but always called me Julie. So mm-hmm. I was Julie forever, which is fine. I like the name. And then in my mid-20s, I had a really great boyfriend. And he, I don't know how we got to this pot. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what, if I was stoned or something. But he was like, you know, maybe I should go by Julia. Or and then he and I decided we liked that.
You changed with SAG and everything?
I guess I had. I don't know if I had to do that or not. You probably did, I guess.
Yeah.
My agent said, don't do it. Don't change your name because you don't want to mess with any, you know.
Right. You've already got that Julie Montgomery. yeah.
I said, I'm going to do it.
Right. So the documentary, Robert Carradine, and I think all three of them, Curtis Armstrong, Tim Busfield, they all said, we're not going to. We don't want to audition for a nerd movie.
Exactly.
Now, how about your audition? Were you reticent about being in a nerd movie?
Not at all. Are you kidding? I'm just going to be honest. I had just come out to L.A. I'd done Up the Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous movie. We've already discussed.
Yes.
But very, very fun atmosphere on that movie. Like,
right.
Just camp, like, you know, just Tim that's Matheson a whole other. Oh, boy. Yeah. On location, I'm in L.A. I'm like, what is going on? This is really fun, even though it's a horrible movie. Then I got I got auditioned for Nerds, and then they called me back, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, my God. Mm. And then I went back, I must have met Jeff Canoe. And then suddenly I was screen testing. I was like, what? This is too fun. And Jeff is a great director. Like,
right.
He is a doll. He is so talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's so... actor, you know, connected. It's
well, I think that's why it, even though there are some elements, and we'll talk about that in a little bit,
I'm sure.
I think the acting and the performances are what really shines through.
Yes.
And now
it's certainly not the script, even though I love the script. It was a cute idea, but it wasn't in the script.
Well, that's what everybody says, is that there was a lot of ad-libbing around, and the script was kind of
It was just like a springboard. And and Steve and Jeff, very talented, like great idea, like everything. But it wasn't in the writing. It wasn't in the direct. There was no written.
Right.
This came out of ensemble.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you were about 24 or thereabouts
at
the time?
Yeah.
Okay. And Robert Carradine's 30.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman plays the coach. He's like 32.
I love John Goodman.
Apparently the guy that played the dean is like 6 months older than Booger.
Wow.
David Wall?
Booger.
That's what they said, yeah. On IMDb.
Six
they're
months
like,
older
they're
than...
Like, they're like, he's only...
Well, see, I have never...
Because Booger was 32.
Well, see, Curtis is so... Like, I never would have... I mean, I always went out with people 10 years older than me, but Curtis never
looked... Wait a second.
What?
You just hinted at something that I want to pursue.
What?
You said you always went out with older people. Did you and Booger have a little...
I was telling you that I didn't know how old Curtis was when you went down this road.
So did you and Curtis...
We had a very intense friendship and, you know, there may have been more.
Really?
I'm a very loyal person.
Curtis.
Yeah. Curtis? Well, he's fantastic. He's
Brett,
an amazing person.
Brett, back me up on this. I think an underrated comedy genius.
I agree.
Yeah.
Curtis Armstrong is very, very funny.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything.
Well, he's just so...
Steals every scene that he's in.
So talented.
His burps are real.
What's that?
His burps are real.
That's funny.
No, they're not.
They are.
No,
not the big one.
The big one was... They had a camel, and somebody else on the crew burped, and they matched the sounds together. And
what?
Oh, wow.
That's according to IMDb, but is that true? Yeah.
Yeah.
First, the rumor was that it was a camel having sex, but apparently they took a camel sound, and one of the guys in the crew belched really loud, and they just kind of extended it in the audio.
That's cool.
I think that, I know that, yeah, the camel thing is right, and maybe they did that. I don't know. Yeah. I just do remember... That definitely wasn't Curtis.
Yeah, so he said he just like, opened his mouth and pretended to burp.
But he's so talented. He made that look totally real. Did he not?
He did, absolutely.
I mean, he's so talented.
Well, you're still, I was watching your acting reel today.
Oh, what?
Several times. But it starts out with you and him.
Oh, yes.
What is that from?
That's from a short movie that we don't know, Curtis, and I don't know where it is. We don't know. And... It had nothing to do, like, obviously, he was already cast. This was, like, his project. Like, it wasn't his project, but he was cast first or whatever, you know, it was. And I just happened to, I was working on another short film, and the guy who played my husband on that said, you should audition for this. There's two roles, one of the therapist and one of the, which is the one I got, and one of the wife.
Right.
Of course, I wanted the one with the wife. I'm like, I want to play Curtis's
wife. Well, you see, he never got over Booger.
I didn't. I mean,
we won't tell your husband.
Just, I filed for divorce in January.
Oh, now you tell me. Oh my goodness.
Woohoo!
Lady's not out. Yeah.
But anyway, happiness.
Wow.
Yeah, but Curtis and I are dear friends to this day.
Yeah.
The problem with me and Curtis is we could just talk all night long, and literally we would.
I can see that.
Yeah,
we seem to have the same sort of chemistry. You might think. But your acting reel is interesting because, like, every scene has to do with drinking. The scene you have with Curtis Armstrong, you're trying to talk about not
found
to drinking.
Out.
And then you're with some guy that's like, playing your husband.
That's
and he's like,
the guy who told me about the Curtis movie.
Yeah, he's like,
I am really ripped in that. Scene.
No,
I mean, not really.
Well, there's one scene where he's like, you're saying that he can't get it up, and he's like, well, I need a drink.
Wait,
and you're like,
no, you're totally.
It's on your acting reel. It's on YouTube. I watched it five times.
You can't get it up? No, he didn't have a job.
Oh, is that that's the next scene.
I gotta watch my reel.
Yeah, that's the next scene where he can't get it up, and you're like, I'm gonna drink as much as I want. And acting is very good in all those scenes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had a great time on that little movie. Anyway, I had a great time in that.
So yeah, I can see how somebody can hang out with you and just talk all night. I can see that. And smile. Yeah. I think Hannah's trying to hook something up.
We had so much fun.
But let's get back to the nerds.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
believe me, if you have to redirect me to the question again, please do, because I'm just off on tangents here.
We love it.
Yeah, we love it.
I don't know. I've lost the question, but trust me.
I'm not talking to Brett at all. He's like, I just keep going. I love it.
Brett's ready. Brett's ready for a question. Like, I'm ready to hear more about Brett.
Well, I'm going to tell you more about Brett.
I want to hear a little bit more about Brett.
Before we do that.
All right.
I'm going to give you some word association, okay?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, fun.
These are all people in Revenge of the Nerds. You give me
what
comes to your mind immediately.
Okay.
One word.
Okay.
Okay. Anthony Edwards.
Sweet.
Robert Carradine.
A handful. Can I say two words or
is
only
one? Is he really?
Yeah, but he's...
How so?
He's a doll. But, Oh God.
Let's get his face out of here. Okay.
Well, how so? Well, he's an extremely talented actor. Mm-hmm. He's a complicated person.
Yes.
So when we did the first movie, mm-hmm. I was pretty young, right? I mean, right. I was like 23 or 4.
And he was 30.
Yeah, no, but he had a girlfriend.
Like he'd been in Mean Streets. He'd been in a lot of
movies. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I was sort of like, oh, my God, you know. And we always had chemistry. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. What was funny and interesting was we had chemistry on screen, but we didn't have a friendship. We didn't have a hate ship or anything like that. Right. Nothing like that. But I was like kind of like sort of I didn't know what to make of him. I was sort of nervous, like just because I didn't have the conversations. I didn't have, but as an as actors, it was.
Is it because you're romantically involved in the movie or?
I don't know what. No. What do you mean romantically involved? Well because we're playing. Well,
right.
We're actors and we did have great chemistry. That was just what was on screen. But what was amusing to me was that off screen, I didn't feel that comfortable with him at that time. We become friends.
Nice.
We become really good friends now. That relationship took. We're all close, but the Robert relationship, it took until the last couple years. Like I had some real conversations with him.
Right.
And it became a whole different, it was like the relationship I would have wanted back then, but I didn't know how to get there with him. Just friendship. I'm just talking about friendship.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of friends, and I can't believe, wow, how fast this has gone. I got so many things to get to.
Oh, yeah.
No, we got more time, but one of our guests.
Okay, but we're going to do another show together because we haven't found out anything about
Brett. No.
This is going to become a series.
We've got about 20 minutes to go. I was like, I can't believe it's.
We have a series now.
We got about 20 minutes to go. I just didn't know it was that fast.
Yeah, yeah. No,
one
really
of our guests,
been...
Jamie Gendron, who's a stand-up comedian, and she is Eddie Murphy's favorite stand-up comedian.
Oh.
I was so impressed that we had you on that I had to have her call in. Jamie, are you
there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
Hi, Julia.
Oh, hi. We're getting you louder. Hold on. We can't barely hear you.
Plugging you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There you are. Now we can hear you.
Yes, this is Jamie Gendron, who's Eddie Murphy's favorite comedian.
Jamie.
But that's a whole story.
Hi, Julia.
Oh, my God. You have a great voice. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Where are you?
I am in Irvine, but I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Well, hi. This is fun.
This is another of your biggest fans.
I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite scenes ever is in the whole bouncy house moon moonwalk thing. Oh,
Jamie, really? You had to choose that scene to be your favorite?
This is no lie.
Jamie had a rough childhood.
Yeah, Mark will tell you in a heartbeat. I'm very, like, open book.
Okay.
And from that scene, later on, I lived in a place that was next door that had wrestling, like a real wrestling ring.
Right.
For girls to do girl-on-girl wrestling.
Okay.
Well, I took this little guy I was dating out there, and it was raining really hard, and it was out in an open courtyard.
Sounded
and
sexy.
Yes, I had my own version. Of
baby!
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
I better rethink that whole...
behind it, yeah.
Was he a nerd?
Thank you. Was he a nerd, Mark is asking?
Was
he a nerd, your boyfriend?
Nerd.
Yeah.
He was a little bit nerdy. He was a little nerdy.
Just nerdy enough.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, to get it done right.
In New Orleans, it depends on how many drinks you've had.
Okay. That's that's true too, of course.
Well, thank you for calling in, Jamie.
Jamie, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we're gonna have you on in June and
yes, we are.
There'll be some, we're going to have a real nerd on with you at that time.
Oh, fun. I'll look forward to that.
Hi. Spanky, spanky action.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mark's on a tear. I can tell this is a warm-up to something, Jamie.
No. Well, I was going to say, Larry B. Scott.
Larry B. Wild
is not
man.
Gay.
No, he is not gay. Not gay. We all know that. But he used to announce that.
No. I knew that because I met him.
Of course you knew it.
But a couple of weeks ago, people were like,
no.
He played it so well, we thought he was gay.
People a few weeks ago thought that?
Hannah?
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hannah thought that?
Yes.
No, he is brilliant.
He's a terrific actor.
As like he actually, when we do these Comic Cons and sometimes we do a panel, and he will do. Have you ever seen? You might see. I don't know. Some of the, since there's some of them taped. He does the way he did his audition. He's so fucking funny. He's so gay. He's so wonderfully gay. Like, you know, he used to be a serious wild man.
From what I understand, because you were all on the University of Arizona.
Oh yeah.
And everybody had their little fun. Apparently, yeah, but, he was the biggest player on campus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He had the most girls.
I didn't see him very often. He was quite busy.
Yes.
And while we're at it, my really close friend Brent, who was actually a guest on our show last week, he wanted me to tell you, give her my love. I love her.
See how you are adored.
I can't believe it. Let's say thank you.
And that's Brett in L.A. Thanks,
Brett. In L.A.
No, you saw. I mean, you saw how people came up to you. How people come up to you at these conventions.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you, I've had many a guy say, you know, I, you know, that's my puberty and all that stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Now.
Yeah. That's
now, how? What did
true.
You feel about the nude scenes back then, and how do you feel about it now?
Well, the nude scenes. Well,
there's
the
only
good
one
thing
nude
about,
scene, really.
Yeah, the good thing about the nude scenes for me was that, well, first of all, contractually, they were only allowed like 2 or 3 seconds, and it was in the contract, so that was kind of good. But the real good thing was, as far, I mean, that was good because it made me comfortable.
Your agent negotiated to the second?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
So,
Brett,
I'm sure
take
they
notes.
Went over. But
it's good
but
stuff.
The part that made it like basically easy, you know, with a relative term, easy for me to do, was because I was just getting into the shower. I was just like, okay, you're just getting into the shower, you know, talk myself down, or just getting into the shower.
And apparently, from what I understand, that fraternity, it was like a rundown house, and they only made like one room and one hallway, like nine.
Yes, yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember it that way.
What makes the scene kind of, especially for modern audiences in the Me Too age,
right.
a little
oh, well,
dicey,
that,
that's,
now
is
you're
that
you're
intercutting that with a bunch of nerds on the couch.
Well, of course dicey. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yelling for your bush and all this other stuff.
And that's none of that is me. No, that part is not me.
So you're just like taking a shower. You didn't know what was on the other side. And
well, right. Well, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But those pranks, unfortunately, you know, or for whatever, depending on who you are, fortunately and unfortunately, are kind of a part of college life or, you know, like.
Just being young in general and having fun. Yeah.
It's sort of, that's fine. I think that obviously the thing that gets me in trouble is the moon bounce, because it's rape. But yet,
yeah.
I feel that this is the way I, first of all, I Jeff, are you listening? I blame Jeff Canoe.
Now, when did
my
this
director.
Turn around where everybody was like, wait a second, this is rape?
No,
this
no,
is
we
pretty
didn't
recent,
think that then.
This
we
is pretty recent, though.
We didn't think that then.
No, no, but I mean, it's like, but, probably the last, even when that was, when the DVD came out,
it was still okay.
Yeah, like Timothy Busfield's like, I think it'd be PG-13 if it was today. I'm like, really?
Wow.
And then really? The guy who played Worms was like, no, it'll be like an NC-17.
Yeah, because PG-13 movies in the 90s versus now are totally different.
But it would be a PG-13 movie.
True. No, I know. It'd be an R movie, but yeah. I'm just saying this. Somebody's it depends like on the decade. If you look at the
right,
yeah,
totally.
Films and what mm-hmm. they allow.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what'd you say, yeah. the last 5 years or maybe is when like people
yeah.
are like, ooh, it's rape.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. We have yeah. conversations about it. Like, yeah. they'll, you know, certainly in interviews and stuff, but even every once in a while, like maybe at one of these events, it just, I mean, it kind of would. Just a little bit come up. Well, like it's in a question. It's in a panel. It would be like in a panel thing. Because, but, you know, the thing for me, and I'm stuttering, is that for Betty, Robert Lewis has been sort of, you know, trying to warm her into seeing him as a person mm-hmm. for the entire movie. So.
But she never warms to him. Even right
no,
before that
well,
scene, he's like. Oh,
I
you
know.
Gotta kiss
okay.
me. She's like, I'm not kissing a
so
nerd.
So what I'm saying, why I'm blaming Jeff Canoe, and I do that with of course, yeah. Jess and stuff, but is that I do feel that there should have been another beat in that scene
yeah.
where it, you're where I was more like angry or startled. But right. you know what? It's a comedy, and like I don't know. I wish we had explored that, not because it was rape, just because or because that's more now than what any of us were thinking then.
Although... there is that scene right before where you're like, I'm really horny. Maybe it was because of the nerd. And you go up to you go up to Santa, like, I've watched this a couple times in the last week. You're like, I'm really horny, and she's like, he's like, what are you, a goat or something? Like
that. He's horrible. Stan is a horrible. What are you, horrible line to me?
What guy? You're trying to have sex with him.
Yeah.
What?
What guy says that? Honestly, though, this babe comes up behind you and like, I'm what are you? Too much?
Exactly. Yeah. I know.
And conveniently, he left his faux Darth Vader mask. It doesn't look like Darth Vader.
But see, my thing is that I think that Betty has been, I think that inside, over time, she is warming to him, but there's no friggin' way she can show it. She's the sorority bitch. She's the top sorority girl, blah, blah, blah. Stan is the top. They're meant to be together because of what society and all of us, we all think we're looking for. And then slowly, Lewis creeps in on her. First, it's ridiculous.
He's a creep.
It's a creep. And then, all you see, and it's true, is me closing the door on him, all that stuff, which was, I think, true. But I think over time, she would never have been able to, I don't think, admit it. Like, this was a surprise that took her by surprise. I do think the scene is missing a beat.
I think you're right. And
but
I know you get asked this question.
But you had to melt after that.
Right. Mm. Well, I know you got asked this scene. I asked this question at conventions.
Yeah.
How could you mistake that scrawny, nerdy body
for
Stan's muscular jockey body?
I know. Stan is so friggin' Ted is so gorgeous. You remember he had the cape on. Like, it wasn't physically.
When you're grabbing his body, you can't.
I really hadn't grabbed his body yet. I'm talking in the film. I am too.
Yeah, okay.
No, I am too. What do you mean?
I'm talking to Betty. I'm not talking to Julie. Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
No.
No, you were the cradle of booger. I don't know what was going on.
Well, that's all I'm telling you.
told me a lot.
We didn't see. It was dark. It was an atmosphere. Very, and he had the cape on his. And then he had the, I wasn't grabbing him to me. This all happened quickly.
Right.
Well, it happened so quickly.
I'm going to skip over the whole penis size thing, but
there was no, at that time, it was just what it was.
Well, I think.
What you saw.
What happens
Thank
is.
Thank God my dad is not listening to any of these shows. My parents were horrified. Right. We're not going to get into that. My dad is still with us.
What did your dad feel when Reds and Nerds came out?
Are you kidding me?
It was a big hit.
They are church-going Presbyterians.
Ooh.
Just church-going anything would have been enough.
Because, first time I saw...
Because I don't even know,
first time I saw Reds and Nerds was with my parents.
I'm just saying that as a detail. But, what?
Oh.
I hear this a lot.
We were at the video store, and apparently what we wanted to watch was not there, and they're like, you pick something out. Like, Friends of the Nerds are like, Friends of the Nerds. Okay.
Sounds silly.
And they
Sounds
loved
stupid.
It. They thought it was hilarious. They loved it. And I think what saves the movie, besides the rape and all that other stuff, is
at the end, the speech
and the We Are the Champions and that whole thing. The nerds love their parents.
Yeah. Mark, the whole point of this movie is the heart of it. I'm sorry. I know you're the host.
No, please.
But
God forbid I should talk.
So the whole point of this movie is how we are all, that's why, I'm babbling around, but we are all inside. We all have the nerd parts of us. Mm-hmm. And so does Betty. And, because why would you be with someone like Stan who's such a mean to her, really ugly to her?
Yes.
So, we all have that part of us that is whatever we want to call it. And so when she finally admits that this is the guy she is falling in love with, and then they're in love, it's like I'm just the symbol in that movie of change, and that and that we're all really broken a little bit, of course,
agreed,
obviously, and that we should really accept people, not just by the first the look.
Yeah, and
take those glasses off. Obviously, you'd see, Robert. He's a very handsome. He's not like, he's not you know, only that look.
He's pretty hairy though, but
he has a lot of, he's got a lot of fur.
But then Anthony Edwards and James Cromwell became big stars after that.
Oh my God.
James Cromwell, who played the dad.
Yes.
Who apparently originated the honking laugh.
Yes.
Okay.
Created in the car when they were rehearsing, or right. I think it was in the car. We'd have to ask Robert to make sure, or right. Curtis, because
right.
fact gatherers.
Now you were not in Revenge of the Nerds 2, which
I certainly was not.
Please
was
tell
insulted?
Me about that.
Okay, I wasn't insulted. They asked me, mm-hmm. but on page 6, it was not written by the same writers, so that is one thing.
Right, you've never seen it.
I've seen it. I may have actually walked out. That's a little petty in there. You can feel the hair flip, right? Like, but okay, they wanted me to do it. On page 6 of the script, they have Betty sleeping with a jock in a hotel room of that script.
Oh.
And I'm like, did you not see the movie? There is no way that I would have done that. This was a huge transition for Betty. Right. That was the symbolically the heart of the movie. My transition was just, mm-hmm. you know, not that my, but that was the, to me, the journey
yeah,
of the
I get
movie.
It. Yeah.
And there was no way that I said, so the director, they really wanted me to come down. I was working on another project, but I could, was going to be able to figure it out, except for that, you know, this was, there was no way I was going to do it like this. And the director got on the phone with me, you know, assured me they were going to change the script when we were down there. We were going to rewrite it. And I got on the phone with Curtis. He called me and he said, I said, Curtis, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do because I can't believe what they have me doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how much, I'm saying to Curtis, you know, how much can they change the script? How much can they, like, what are they going to change it to that I'm in the hotel room with a jock on mm-hmm. page 6? Mm-hmm. I was so mad. And so he's like, believe me, they're not giving us the freedom that they said they would. They were already shooting. They were
right,
already
right.
in the shoot.
Right.
And so he said, you know, you don't believe them because they're not doing what they said with us. And we're not giving us the freedom that we had, that we all did this, insisting
right.
upon that. And probably even, I don't know, if I didn't see anyone's contract, but he's like, I'm like, okay, then I'm not doing it.
Because that's the other thing about the original. Not only is it the message at the end, but it was all the improv.
Oh,
what the fuck is a frush? And
all of
David Carradine, when he's like, we love you when you're mad. That's an ad lib.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so much fun. Because I was on that scene. That was
that's the panty
so
raid scene.
Much fun. So I had gone home for the day. I had gone over the day, you know, on that shoot. And then I get to my room and, you know, they're still shooting. It wasn't like the day hadn't been wrapped, but it was. And so I get home to my room and I'm thinking, okay, one of my guys, you know, Curtis and the guy is going to be done. And I get a phone call. Julia, something like the AD or somebody called, I don't remember who. Can you come back to this? Just asking, would you come back to the set? There's something he wants to do. I'm like, yes. That's always how I was.
Right.
I mean, it was so much fun. So I got back to the set and he's like, okay, this wasn't written, but what I want you to do is walk down the hall and sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And oh no, that's a different scene. That's a different one we made up. So this one, he's like, no, I just want you to go up on the balcony and come out and we'll just do it from there. So I come out. And Robert screams that line. This is not scripted, so it was a total surprise. How fun. And I, like, do whatever, you know, walk back in. That's it, Betty. I mean, it was so fun. And then the other scene like that was the one when I walk down the hall before I go into the before I take my robe off to get into the shower. And I'm singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Mm-hmm.
E-I-E-I-O. Down that hallway before the one room.
Yeah, the pigs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he just, that Jeff Canoe, he's so fun to work with. He's mm-hmm. so talented.
Right.
So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Hmm. Now, your picture was in Revenge of the Nerds 2. Did you get paid for that?
Yes. I'm sure I did. Yeah, you have to.
Oh, okay, good.
You have to.
All right.
Technically,
Lewis cheats on you with Courtney Thorne Smith.
Well,
in the movie.
He did. And you know what? Had I cheated on him, I would never have seen any of other scripts. Not that the rest of you saw them either. But we shot three and four.
No, I did.
Three was so boring.
I saw three and four because I knew you were going to be there and there.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Well, three was really boring, but four I thought was adorable. Well, obviously, the first one.
Here's the thing
the
about
best.
Three. Here's the thing, and we're running out of time. Thank goodness now we're talking about those. But here's the thing about three. Three is prescient.
Is what?
It's prescient because
I don't know. Jeez,
everybody's
a
nerd now.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, the whole conceit of that movie is the nerds took over the school.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the world now.
Yes.
Yes, it predicted the future.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
And Ted McGinley's character Stan came out as a nerd.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole thing was.
Had he only known that when we were dating.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, he kept trying to get you.
That would have been.
Yeah.
But I'd already fallen deep in love with Lewis, so that's it.
Even though he cheated on you in Resident Nurse, too.
I don't know how I resolved that. As I said, I walked out of the movie, so luckily Robert didn't have to deal with my wrath. Like, why didn't you change right. that script, Robert? Because you just wanted to be with that girl as an actor.
And I'm guessing.
Thanks, Robert.
And I'm guessing that. Should have gone to Booger's trailer. I'm guessing that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that number three. There was even the improvisation was even worse there because.
Oh, no, it didn't. What happened was we didn't have Jeff. So three and four.
Yeah.
Two is his own animal again.
Right. You have nothing to do with
three,
that.
Nothing to do with it. Three and four. It just, we didn't have Jeff. Had we had Jeff, and I'm sure he turned it. I'm pretty positive.
Right.
It would have been because he knows how to. But we weren't allowed. It wasn't an allowing.
Well, here's the weird thing about that is they have a whole new generation of nerds.
Right.
And they're portrayed by very talented people.
Yes, oh yes.
Shy McBride plays one of the nerds.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Panette, the late John Panette.
Yes.
But Henry Cho's a great comedian, but they use him horribly.
Yeah.
John Panette has an English accent, he can't pull it off, but he's a funny guy. Just let him be a funny guy.
Oh, totally. Yeah, exactly.
And Henry Cho is like an Elvis. It's like it sucks.
But, yeah, I agree.
But you are good in it.
Oh, thank you.
Because you kind of take over the Anthony Edwards role as the sweet one.
Oh.
And kind of
nice.
The conscience.
I'm not going to watch that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four,
didn't like four?
It was hard. And I heard four was supposed
love.
To be a pilot for Curtis Armstrong as a booger show.
No, it was supposed to be our show, Revenge of the Nerds, like a series.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Fox never understood how to, or I don't know, who's thinking over there, for this movie. They never gave it the right advertising, ever.
Mm-hmm.
They put it up against something or other. I don't remember the fourth one in the schedule.
It was like a 3D marathon, like everybody
has. Yeah, that's right.
See.
It was just, it should have been given, why are you doing it if you're not going to?
Right. You had a birth in 3D, apparently. You gave birth during Booger's wedding.
Oh, my God. And no one, it's TV. No one can give birth with their legs like maybe like this.
Yes, in a long dress. But anyway.
So funny.
Skip three and four, just for me.
Yeah, you skip three, for
skip
sure.
Skip two.
I put it on for a few minutes. I was like, okay.
No, two.
Yeah, no.
Two has two funny parts. And
does it? I'll watch it again.
And Ogre pees for 2 minutes straight, which is funny.
Listen, I love my boy. I love my cast.
Ogre, what do you think about Ogre?
Ogre is a teddy bear.
Yes.
You wouldn't know it.
Right.
He is such a teddy bear.
Yeah.
He in the beginning he was one of the very busy ones and extremely in Tucson.
I'm sure he and Larry B were.
My God, yeah, we never saw them
neck and neck.
And we saw them briefly, and then they're like, bye. I'm like, okay, goodbye. Be
and
careful.
Did you get in trouble with some of the co-eds?
No. I'm very.
You got hit on by the college boys. I'm sure.
Sure I did, but I'm a one-on-one person.
Nice to know.
Yeah.
Now before we go, and I can't believe. That's been an hour. It's probably more than an hour.
I can't either.
And we gotta
have
both of you back.
We're not going to be able to sleep tonight. It's going to be like a
so
show.
Many
it's like a show. We're all
true.
Hyped up.
Yeah.
No, I know. Maybe the tea. But
no,
what is the oddest reaction you've gotten at a convention from a nerd fan?
Or oddest request.
Oh, yeah. It happened fairly recently. By the way, I'm doing a couple more shows.
Yeah, please.
I've got one. We'll get to that. They had a of course, anyone can take stills out of the movie. Mm-hmm. So they had an enlarged photograph of me after I'd taken the rope off.
Oh.
Boobs, everything.
And they wanted me to sign it.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't do that. Oh, I really, I mean, I'm a nice person. But I'm like, I just can't do it. And then he's like, I'm starting to feel bad, but I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know. There isn't an amount of money that would make me feel differently about it. So it was like, and then I said, well, for the second where I thought, well, maybe I should do it because he brought it and all this stuff. And this is in part of his collection. And now he has this. He has
his collection.
Fuck. And I'm like, Well, then I have to at least personalize it because I don't. Not that anyone can't do what he did and print it out, but it just couldn't sign it. Mm-hmm. It's me naked. I said, "Hey, I have kids. I mean, they're grown. They've seen. You know, it's not like. But I just don't want to." Mm-hmm. He was upset, but anyway.
I'm sure. Sell pies, but the pies have the whipped cream.
The pies are like PG, so it's really fun because it's like, oh, they remember the moment, but I'm not like selling, you know, a boob shot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's funny.
And
people love it.
And Brett, you do a lot of conventions.
Yeah.
You do a lot of cosplay conventions. Hmm? What's the weirdest thing that's happened to you at a convention?
I think it was at the Anime Expo. I was taking pictures with some people, and this guy came up behind me, and he was dressed as one of those assassins from Assassin's Creed. Short. Ugh. He was like a foot and a half shorter than me. He tried to trip me. Like, I'm like, what? Yeah, exactly.
What were you dressed as?
Roger Klotz from, like, Doug Nickelodeon. He's like the green. Yeah. I'm like, hey, what are you doing, pal? You know, that was in character. So I kind of just.
Well, that was sweet. Oh,
that's great.
To stay in character and made it funny.
Yeah.
But what the heck?
But
yeah.
Seriously, like, who does a complete stranger? So I kind of just pinned him against the window.
Good.
It was just so weird, yeah.
Maybe he's got beef with Doug.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Anyway.
The character.
I had to, like, look straight down. I'm like, what is that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I'm a huge, huge fan of your makeup. I've always, you know, I've always liked your photos, and you're incredible.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lots more things coming.
I know. And as a matter of fact, that's a great segue, because I can't believe how fast this hour went. That's when you know it's a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us what you got coming up.
Right now,
people can get a hold of you.
Coincidentally, this is a show I'm doing. Opens June 21st called Masters of the Dark Realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show. Pretty much it's a group of friends, all nerds, nerd gamers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they play this game that's similar to like Dungeons & Dragons style, mm-hmm. you know, where they get dressed up and they play all together, play every week. And, you know, they're like early 30s. They're coming of age. And as a couple. Yeah.
These days, that's when you come of age.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah.
It is true.
You never truly grow up. But
No, that's true.
Yeah, there's a couple. They have a baby, or they're pregnant, and, you know, they're like, oh, things are going to change now. Like, mm-hmm. they're pretty like, all right, we're not really going to play the game. But the other friends are like, well, what are we going to do? And, you know, it kind of, like, tears at them a little bit. It kind of, like, makes their friendship rocky. And in the second act, some tragedy happens.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you know, that kind of like pushes them all apart, and they figure a way to come back together. And
sounds like a cool play.
Yeah.
How long is it running? I want to come.
I believe it's eight shows,
nice.
4 weekends.
Is the Hollywood Fringe Festival?
It's not, but actually, it's at the Actors Workout Studio. It's a standalone show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Force of Nature.
Julia,
Productions.
I'm going to take you to see this.
Okay, we're going.
Play. Yeah.
It's a date.
Love to have you guys.
Yes.
Give us
the dates. Give us the dates of the theater it's at.
So here's the postcard. June 21st to July 13th.
Perfect.
Fridays and Saturdays.
Right.
Yeah, at Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a nice, intimate show. It's a heavy show.
Yeah.
And,
it's a heavy show.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I'm
heavy,
intrigued.
Intimate show.
And fun. That's fun,
That's
too.
A girl's dream. We like heavy and intimate.
We do.
Really?
We really do.
Well.
Pretty much.
Look no further.
Yeah.
But, and how do people get a hold of you?
They can, you know, I have my Facebook page, my Facebook fan page.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, look
you
at
know,
that.
I try to respond to all the messages as soon as I possibly can. So it's just Brett Gustafson hyphen Malicious Sid, which is my alternative name when I do alternative things.
That's a
Malicious
good name.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, you're so he's risky.
He's the coolest. Yeah, I got to hang out with this guy more. I got to have him on the show more.
Oh,
we're
going
to have you
on
again soon. And it's always a pleasure. I've been so nerding out, and so you have too with all the stories. But we'll have you back around the time the play's going on.
Yes,
and we'll talk more about you because you are fascinating. I remember last time you were on, you were terrific, and always love hanging out with you.
I'd love that.
And Julia,
yeah, I want to come back. I want to come back too. I won't talk as much. Promise.
No.
I enjoyed it.
I can't wait to learn more about Brett.
Hmm.
All right. Well, then we'll have this on probably late next month or July somewhere around there.
Yeah, sounds good.
But
summer
Julia,
closeout.
I love that.
Your website is juliamontgomeryactress.com.
Yes, it is. Boy, this is so funny. You're making me. Yeah, that is. That is. Yes.
And I was going to say it's. Do you have any projects that you're working on right now?
Right now, I'm actually not doing anything. I just did a commercial for something, but right now I'm doing some real estate projects. I've got a couple things in escrow.
That's great.
Yeah, really fun. And then I'm going next week. Well, it's almost next week. It's June. I'm going to do the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Oh, great.
And they're supposed to be wonderful. Like, the guy who's running that show has been already setting things up.
Oh, that's terrific.
They seem amazing. Then, so Niagara Falls, and then I'm doing the 80s in the Sand again in the Dominican in November, and in between I'm not there's a couple of things that aren't set yet, but
Niagara Falls and the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, Niagara Falls, like, yeah, crazy.
No, my grandmother's from Niagara Falls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, geez, I should show you around.
Yeah. That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
Anyway, Julia Montgomery, formerly Julia Montgomery.
Same, yeah.
A pleasure. Oh,
thank you.
We could talk all night.
I know.
Booger style, but we only have so much time.
You have been
a delight. I've got so many more nerd questions.
Oh, excellent.
We'll have to be continued.
Yes, to be continued.
And Hannah.
Hey, Hannah. Box 666 on Instagram, and that's BAKK.
Yes, not B A.
Not BACH. I'm a BAKK.
And
I have something.
Please go ahead.
You guys have to help me with it because I am such a nerd, but not the right kind of nerd in this way. I have an Instagram that I haven't done anything with called The Real Betty Childs.
Ooh.
So I need your help.
We will post this to The Real Betty Childs and
hashtag it up.
Yes, definitely.
Such a nerd, but in the other way, the wrong way.
I like that.
You're going to get so many Instagram followers from this.
Fun.
At The Real Betty Childs and also at Goth Comedian. Everybody have a wonderfully nerdy week. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Nerds.